Hi there, this is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all walks of life, variety of industries. Sometimes I do spirit-led sermons from my divine. In my household, we worship the Holy Trinity, the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, some people call the Holy Spirit. So sometimes He whispers in that still, small, quiet voice into my heart and says the name of the topic and when to start recording. It's very neat. He's been doing that a lot more lately. And sometimes I release music that I create. It's one of those three, whatever the episode is. Every time it's going to be one of those three. My life mission that became our life mission when I got married last year is to help empower you to find happiness from within. Our target population for this podcast is people with depression or their friends or family. This is another tool in your toolbox. We bring you nothing but relevant research, current, like as current as possible from all over the world that I have access to, that we have access to. Real stories from real people and real real music that's sometimes spiritual genres, sometimes it's not, but it's still designed, inspired through real life experiences that the Father gifts to me because I gift it. I let you hear it. There's a power, there's a supernatural power of music. If you are musically inclined to create it, there's a healing power in that. And that's going to be a research project that we will do in the future and release the results of that. We started it last year with our, what I thought was 14th alternative therapy that I had developed that became we when I got married. But it actually wasn't, because in the last few days, the Holy Spirit has reminded me of His supernatural power working through me as young as 5 years old. And that was my first alternative therapy that I released publicly. So I've got over 39 alternative therapies so far that I've developed, and about 29 of them successfully executed in society. And the Holy Spirit is in a real funny mood this morning. I love it. He told me to listen, to review an episode I had released this morning. He said, release it, and then I want you to listen to it. There are people that are waiting intently to hear the second part of Givers and Takers. So I just released that this morning. As I'm recording this, it is July 17th, 2023. And as I was eating my breakfast, I looked up and I saw the topic on my food item that I had purchased from the grocery store, one of the many small grocery stores yesterday. I went out to try and exchange the vehicle. I have a rental vehicle right now from a car accident that I had experienced last Saturday unexpectedly. Somebody hit my vehicle, and we both survived it when we probably shouldn't have, because there was angels protecting both of us. And I've been dealing with a bunch of organizations, and it's not fun, and I haven't had it all solved yet, but he's providing me progress in his perfect timing. And I was running out of food in the house that I pay rent for my space. And I went to the store and was able to buy food. I'm grateful for all the food truck delivery people that deliver to grocery stores. I looked up and he said, the topic is cup of noodle. I said, Father, are you serious? He said, yep, that's the topic. So here we go. Unexpectedly, that's how the Holy Spirit works, is in his timing. So the first thing that came to mind was poor college diets. And you might be giggling if you're listening to this, because you might be able to relate. When you're in college, it's, I don't know what they call that. it's commonly known that you're getting top ramen or cup of noodle. It's like, because at least in my lifetime, they make it on purpose for you to not have a lot of money while you're in college, because you're studying, right? And you are only supposed to work if you have to have a job, like part-time, so that you have time to study, time to do your homework, time to, you know, date people, and you learn about drinking, right, or not drinking, right, if you are an American, because our legal age for drinking is 21. In some countries, you could reach the counter, you could drink, and your family teaches you and educates you on that. Or some faith systems, if you're some Catholic sects and some Lutheran denominations of the Christian faith, they have wine in their communion time. I didn't grow up around any alcohol, so I learned a lot in college about all kinds of things. Spreading my wings and cup of noodle. Cup of noodle and top ramen were some of the fan favorites of me and a lot of my friends. So as I was purchasing items, quick, easy items that I could microwave, because where I'm staying right now, I could use the oven, but it's just, I'm sharing a space with a bunch of strangers. I'm in a humble state. I've been in a humble state for pretty much my whole life, and I'm grateful for where I'm at right now. I'm out in the country. I see deer on the road when I drive in the middle of the day, and the Father protects them, protects me. I think he does it on purpose. I think he allows me to see all these creatures on the ride home. I love living out in the country, and I love that I have to drive a little bit when there's money in my bank account. Last weekend, I was very stressed because credit card companies weren't doing their jobs. They were illegally profiting off of debts, pretending like I had double the debt. So that got, I believe, corrected because I made mention in my tech, and I have a lot of people looking out for me, a lot of warrior, resilient angels looking out for Aaron Nicole, because I've got a big mission. Got a big mission that the Holy Spirit assigned to me in 2018, that I would be the person in the world to help empower you, divine happiness from within, that I would be the person to educate everybody in the world about depression, the teacher of teachers for the most expensive diagnosis in the world. Now, I didn't know how. I was in a similar situation that I am now. I was sharing space, sharing a bathroom with strangers, sharing a kitchen space with strangers. So I purchased items to modify because I'm grateful I have a microwave in my room. Recommend that if you are thinking about creating a space and renting rooms out in your house to try and, you know, help out with the terrible economy that we've got right now. It's a great option for you. And so I had picked food items that could be easily cooked in my room. Because I feel like, and this is what people with depression often think, feel like I am a burden. I know I'm not. But I've had those thoughts for 37 years now and going on in my mind. So I try to just not be a burden to other people and just kind of be by myself. And so I know that, and I'm grateful for the cup of noodles. So that was the first thought that came to mind, was thinking about college and thinking about how hard I worked in college. And I had a job. I worked in the fuel center at Albertsons. First, I was a barista in the Starbucks inside of the grocery store, but we quickly learned that Aaron is not designed for making people coffees. Multi-step things at a high level of crisis in my first year transitioning from high school to college, when my grandmother, who was the matriarch of our family, was diagnosed a year and a half before that, and she was coming to her last few weeks. She had passed away in October of 2004. And that was right around the time where my dad said, it's time for you to get a job. I had a 9-year paper route. I had a job from 9 years old till my senior year in high school. Would have kept the paper route. It was only once a week, but it paid for my cell phone bill when I turned 14. My parents taught me responsibility at a young age, but unfortunately the newspaper, the Quicksaver from the Tacoma News Tribune, was that department was shut down. There wasn't enough interest in it. It was a free little coupon thing. And the Holy Spirit saying, say her name, Julie Talbot, was my our manager. She was the mother. She is the mother. I haven't spoken to her in a long time. I don't know if she's still alive. I'm assuming she is. She was about my mom's age, maybe a few years younger than my mom. She was the mother of a few boys. Robbie was, I think, in my class, and I think his older brother was in my brother's class when we got into public school for the first time. And he was friends with him on the baseball team. They played, and me and Robbie would go playing with a few other kids in the forest at their games, you know, getting all the ant bites on our feet, you know. I have such a vivid memory of my childhood, the more grateful I am. I believe the Holy Spirit's restoring a lot of those damaged memories just by being grateful and just by being open and sharing a little bit of my story. And I had a job. I had a 9-year job by the time I was a freshman in college. Many people, it was their first job ever. So I was asked, I was asked to be moved instead of fired. They said, hey, got pulled into the grocery director, Kathy Cox. I remember her. She was the head person. And then the grocery, she was the store director and the grocery manager. I can't remember her name, but I remember she had long brown hair. And they pulled me in to their office. It was my first 30 days. I had just turned 18 a few months before that. I had just entered college for the first time. And I was learning how to juggle a real job. I had a real job where I got paid money, but they had to pay my mom because we weren't legally allowed to have jobs in society. So mom and dad set up bank accounts for us to teach us responsibility about money before that. So this was my first job ever where I had to be fully responsible and advocate for myself and speak up and whatnot. And boy, was that scary, getting called into essentially the principal's office. But it was my boss. It was the head store managers. And they said, Aaron, we could fire you because in our state, you have 30 days, essentially. We don't have to give you a reason for it. But the feedback from the customers is that you're really nice to everybody. You're just really slow at making their coffees. So we're thinking there might be another area in the store that we can move you over to. What do you think about working in the fuel center? You'd be able to do your homework and you just, you know, sell a couple items, you know, cigarettes, candy, whatever to customers and take cash and take checks. If they pay a credit card, they pay at the pump. I was like, did I hear you say I could do my homework at my job? She said, yeah. I said, well, let's do it. She smiled. They chose to be kind to me. They chose to treat me respectfully. They didn't know. I didn't tell them that my grandma had just died. And we were dealing with that. They didn't know it was my first real job outside of the family. All they saw was me being nice to customers, but not being able to retain their drink orders. Because at that time, my cup level of stress, if you were to put positive and negative stress, right, was full. It was overflowing. And I wasn't retaining information in society. I was experiencing a huge level of grief. I didn't get raised in a talkative household. We didn't talk about our stress. What we talked about was the joy of the Lord is our strength. But I think there's a benefit to having conversations about what's really going on in your life, in your circumstances. The old adage, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I didn't say anything about what was going on personally. I was just grateful that they gave me that opportunity to change jobs within the company. They moved me over. It decreased my stress, and I'm consistent. I'm reliable, so I kept showing up. Even when I got in a car accident, I kept showing up because my friend that I had known since we were in diapers from Tacoma Baptist, she worked in the bakery department. She started driving me. She picked me up for work. Until we were able to figure out. It took a while for the lawyer for my grandmother's estate to release our inheritance. Took over a year. When they released that, car that I had been involved in a car accident was a car that we bought at an auction. It's an Acura. I think it was an Acura Legend. It was like an 87, real old. It was $800. My parents paid in cash, and I shared that vehicle with my oldest sibling when he came back from getting kicked out of the military. And unfortunately, that day, I was in a car accident, my dad was in a car accident, and my brother was in a car accident, all at the same time. There have been attacks from the enemy on my family my whole life. And that's okay. We keep on moving forward. So I kept getting rides from my friend. I'd buy her a Starbucks at the the coffee place in the grocery store, or I'd give her gas money, or she'd say, "Don't worry about it." My thoughts right now are extreme gratitude. Because this friend of mine, Melissa, she was a gift to me from the divine. I know it. One of the smartest people you would ever meet. My mother couldn't get me interested in reading. My teachers couldn't get me interested in reading. I didn't remember anything I read. I had to reread everything that I read. As a child, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And I wasn't retaining what I read. Until I met Melissa. She got me interested in reading. Their family was stationed. Her dad was in the Air Force, and they were stationed at McCord Base, Air Force Base, I believe, when we were in diapers. Then they moved. They were moved to either Colorado or Germany. They went to both places. I'm not sure the order. And then they were reassigned to come back. And a year after Dad had survived kidney cancer, where he lost the kidney, because that was the treatment back then, to kill the organ, to keep it from spreading. His kidney cancer was when I was in sixth grade. In seventh grade, I was in remedial reading. And I still wasn't doing well because all the other kids were rowdy and they didn't care about learning. I needed a modified learning, a quiet learning environment because I was homeschooled. I was learning before that. I was reading in a quiet environment in my room without any distractions. And in public school, you have to learn how to be around a bunch of talkative kids that don't really care. In low-income areas, they don't care about their learning in the regular classes or in the held-back classes. I was still not doing well, even in a remedial reading class. It wasn't my parents. It wasn't the teachers that got me into reading. It was Melissa. My mom had listened to me finally because she was frustrated at the grades that were being sent to her. They were saying that I was too talkative in class or something. I forget what they said. But I was like, Mom, I don't talk in the class. Everybody talks. They probably just mixed me up with one of the other kids because she can't handle the students. I was a smart kid. But I wasn't remembering what I was reading because it wasn't the environment I needed for my learning. Mom put in paperwork to get me moved into choir, and that's where I met Melissa. And then we saw them walking into church. And my dad said, that's the Glass family. I said, how do you know them? He said, they used to go to Tacoma Baptist Church when you were in diapers. For whatever reason, he remembered them. And he said, Aaron, Melissa is a good kid. I want you to spend time with her. My dad was really good at choosing good friends to hang around. My mom and dad used to be youth ministers before I was born. And most of their friends are ministers or part of the church in some capacity. And I don't know what kind of relationship he and my mom had with the Glass family, but it was what my dad told me that I listened to. And so I walked up to her the next day at school on Monday. I said, hey, my dad told me you and I were in diapers together. Would you like to be my friend? I'd like to spend some time with you. And she laughed, because I wasn't afraid to say exactly what my dad said. I was super awkward. But she gave me grace. And we started hanging out. And we were in choir together, and she was super quiet, super introverted, and very into reading. She read so many books, and she would tell me the stories of the books. She got me into Christian romance novels. I don't remember the authors, but she was allowed to read at nighttime, and she basically would go into her room. There's a bunch of people in their household, so she would go in her room and she would read. And so I had a lot of sleepover parties at her house because she didn't like to go to anybody else's house. She had some anxieties about going to other people's houses, I think. And it was just easier, so she didn't have to get a ride anywhere. So before we started driving, my mom started driving me over to the Glass family's house. And she got me into reading, because she'd tell me the stories, and then I'd borrow her books. And then I already kind of knew what was happening, so even if I forgot what I was reading for a page or two, I wasn't judging myself. And so I allowed myself to improve in my reading and my comprehension. And by eighth grade, I had straight A's. Just by being associated with her and learning that I could make improvements in my mind. And I wasn't in held back classes anymore. My abuser was also out of the house. So that helped a lot. That helped a lot to decrease my stress in my mind so that I could focus on my job, which was to do my studies with excellence. And I got into the advanced choir in eighth grade, the top choir. And I believe Melissa was in the choir with me, if I'm remembering correctly. We both were altos. I was a split at that time. meaning I learned multiple parts, but she sang, I think alto two, alto one or alto two, I forget. And we sang all the way through high school. And when I got into college, she didn't go to college. She made a decision to do a career path. She helped me with my college studies when professors were bad teachers. She should have an honorary degree, multiple degrees. She's a highly intelligent person. And the people listening in and spying in on my tech, they should bless her family, her entire family, with brand new cars or pay their mortgage, whatever they ask for. Because whatever I ask for come October will be given without question. I make good decisions and I've helped a lot of people in the world for free already. She's a huge reason why I got into reading. In my book, my autobiography of the first 36 plus years of my life, we already have a contract. We already have a contract. I have it printed, even if people hacked into my email accounts and tried to erase it and say that it didn't really happen, or try to reach out and block it from happening. I already printed the copy out, so go ahead and try and test me. But if you mess with me, you mess with us. And I married the best man in the world. And we have an exclusive contract. They would like, I haven't signed it yet, they would like me to have my book, the story of my first 36 years of my life, advertised to 2 billion households around the world. Billion with a B. That's a lot of households that'll read my book that I wrote, that the Holy Spirit supernaturally wrote through my hands in less than 20 hours. Had it not been for Melissa getting me interested in junior high, in Christian romance novels, and helping me, we did our homework together. We studied together if we had classes together. Even if we didn't, before we'd get to school early in high school. I remember she helped me in Mr. Wolf's zoology class. He is a great teacher. But my priority was the music company and choir and performing arts. I didn't have any interest in any of my other studies, but I had to keep a GPA, a certain GPA, to stay in his program. So, mornings of, I had a test that day in science class. I said, hey, Melissa, I got a test today. Can you help me study real quick? Because that's what friends do. And she didn't have to do that. She could have been doing whatever. Melissa was a gift from the Father. And when I moved across the nation to help my family member in crisis, I lost a lot of the time with my friends. I lost a lot of my relationship time when I married the first guy I married. There's a lot of things that happen when you make decisions in life. But even when, before we got married, she and her family had moved to Olympia. When he and I were cohabitating, the year that there was a suicide in our family, that my eldest stepdaughter, well, I wasn't married to him, but essentially she was my eldest stepdaughter. She had broken up with a boyfriend and he tried to get back together with her, and she had gotten baptized and was committing to a new life with Christ, was going to a private high school. And he had an addiction to drugs and he couldn't see his life without her. He wrote her a letter and blamed her and everything. And our family was dealing with that. So I started going to church. We started as a family unit going to church. And I was working 5 part-time jobs. I was concerned that I was falling asleep at the wheel. So I asked Melissa and her mom, Deborah, if it was okay if sometimes if I was substituting, I was working at the YMCA down the road. I was teaching step aerobic classes so I could have a free gym membership. I was trying my best to make money, to pay my bills, to be responsible in a bad economy. And Melissa and her mother let me stay the night. I slept on her floor. with a master's degree. I've had to be humble for a long time. So come October, all of my associations that have helped me in this journey will be blessed heavily. And my bank account will be very big. And nobody will mess with my money moving forward, because it's our money. And my husband and I are extremely generous people. And it says in the scriptures, those that are generous to others, they will be blessed. So I can't wait for that meeting. There's been a lot of frustrating things in choosing cup of noodles and choosing to go to college and choosing to do all of these things that society said, leaders said, would work out in our favor. And I don't regret any of my decisions, because they've brought me to where I'm at right now. I don't regret any of anyone else's decisions, because they have brought me to where I'm at right now. I'm grateful for it all. And that's what Tony Robbins said in a lot of his videos that I learned the year that my dad died, when I was working at the psychiatric hospital where Move Happy was first birthed. He said it in a lot of his videos. If you truly learn how to be grateful for it all, the good and the bad. He said his own mother was abusive to him, but she loved him. She beat him, but she loved him. His father, extremely abusive. Once they got that man out and he left the family, I believe was a part of the story, then he was able to rise up as the protective son, as children, as boys tend to be, and some ladies as well. I'm very protective of my family. But there's been a lot of people that have tried their best to block me from winning this contest. When the Lord assigned it to me, they've done on purpose. They've tried to cause division in my relationships, in my family, in my money, in my faith. They've tested every single angle possible. And why would they do that? Well, some of them were testing to make sure that I am the chosen one. But some of them, and many of them that have access to all the money and power in the world, have been privately in dark secret rooms, have been making a lot of money off of the abuse, abduction, torturing, sacrificing of young children. It's nothing that's new. It's in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 34, 17 and 18, I believe. The Holy Spirit had revealed it to me the other day, and I was looking through my journal for something else. Jeremiah 19, 5. Luke, I think 13, 9, if I'm remembering correctly. The Holy Spirit reveals verses to me, and a few times, because of the brain damage I had as a child of being abused from 3 to what my memory is starting to open up is 7. I thought it was 3 to 5, but it was actually 3 to 7 years old. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and neglect of my parents. They did the best they could with what they had available, but the enemy loves to cause division in families, in private, in secret, cause fear in children to get them to be quiet, to get them so afraid of their abuser that they start protecting their abuser. That is normal. It is absolutely normal for people to protect their abuser. It's what I did in 2020. When I thought that I was being mentored from spiritual advisors, because that's what they told me they were. They used private church group elder language. Spent over a year, and they had over 1,000 people assisting them to take down Aaron Nicole. I am a threat. I am a threat to their dirty, dark, profitable business, because they make, multiply 6 million on your calculator, 6 million children every year. They make $600,000 per child, and it's a scale. Some of them, they charge more if the kids are more attractive. Yeah, that's sick.
Some of them, they charge more if they're older or younger. I don't know how the pricing goes. The Holy Spirit hasn't revealed that to me, but I know that He told me. He whispers things in my heart, and I trust. I trust when I hear from the Heavenly Father. And I saw a video, an ad, Tony Robbins said 2 million children every year. That is incorrect. That is incorrect. The favor that you've had for your many, multiple decades is on me now. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. Move over. Doesn't mean that I'm going to disrespect you, but you are incorrect. It is 6 million children. Times $600,000, bare minimum. That's the least amount that they pay to do this. To stay looking younger. They had the number one anti-aging company in the world that had broken every single record in a 150-year industry. They completely destroyed their business by illegally hacking in to their websites after I interviewed the president of that company because I was a direct sales brand ambassador for their company. And when I started Move Happy, I launched my podcast. I respected the leaders that had helped me to learn how to start a business, to learn how to talk to strangers, how to talk about products, and how to get people from not knowing about it to knowing about it. And these people, this organization, on purpose destroyed their business just because they can. But the Holy Spirit is more power than all of them combined. And they will be paying out of their pocketbooks $100 million to Neora and the founder, Jeff Olson, for his generous business that he contributed to the world, to people he started in the United States, and they spread it properly. They did everything legally. And the products, much less than $600,000, and they don't harm any humans. That's why they destroyed their business, because they were their number one competitor. So they're going to pay $100 million. Get the check ready to Jeff Olson and Neora for my social media university intensive. After October's meeting, my husband and I will figure out what the proper date is for me to teach my 60-minute intensive and 30-minute Q&A. I am an extremely valuable asset to my nation and the world because I teach you how to save 1,200 hours growing your brands so you could do more of what you love. That is a gift that the Holy Spirit gave to me. I teach people what to do, what not to do. And this evil group, they're going to be upset and they're going to try their best to argue, fight, deny, cover up, do all kinds of things. But just remember, I married the best man in the world. And as you try to cover up, it makes it look worse for you. And it only increases the price of the workshop, the intensive, SMUI, copyright, Erin Nicole Media, owned by my husband and I, the top, one of the top. He would never say it out loud, and he would deny it to your face, but I am very happy at my decision, marrying my second husband. One of the top security people for President Trump, who was asked by one of the top people, the president of the defunded, and I quote, defunded because they're not defunded, bullshit lies that our government leaders try their best to tell you, the president of the Blackwater Alumni Group. There was an organization created from President Clinton, I believe, and his wife. This person was bragging to me at the house that he had just been sworn in. He was a good-looking man. They had been following my content since I had Bill Dolan as a guest on my podcast early on in 2019. Bill Dolan, not in the circle anymore. I have to love him from a distance. A very long distance. Because he on purpose reached out to me last fall. On purpose. When Team Biden was trying their best to target me, they had marked me and tried to get me arrested when they, President Biden and his team, on purpose sent me a fake job application in the middle of dealing with sexual harassment from service experts where I had reported racism and I had reluctantly reported my sexual harassment. I've had to ignore men my whole life. That's what us women are trained to do. We're told to do. If anybody says anything that's not nice, keep your mouth shut. No. I finally had had enough because a person that identified as a man that had a sex change because they had dealt with so much disrespect of being a black female in society, they had been wrongfully arrested. Excuse me, not arrested, fired. They had been wrongfully fired as one of the top HVAC people for the federal government in Washington, D.C. Yeah. And they moved. They moved to help take care of their daughter. Because at that time, their daughter was married to an active duty officer who was sent overseas. And they were dealing with a lawsuit, a multi-year lawsuit against the federal government. This person is my association, and no one is allowed to reach out and try and buy this person out or threaten them. They stood up for me. They are a technician in the HVAC industry for over 20 years, if not 30. Very good at HVAC. And they stood up for me, and they told me that the men on purpose, on fucking purpose, were sacrificing revenues for the company in order to get me to quit. But I didn't quit. That's what I was dealing with. And I reluctantly reported it because a man that was in charge, that wasn't officially in charge, because my manager was sent to a corporate training in Peacher's Mill. Yeah, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They tried their best to get the name of the person that was harassing me on the team. I wouldn't give the name up of the person that was harassing me because it's not their business. They should believe a person. If you report sexual harassment, you should believe me. But my manager, Brandon, didn't. Ignored me because he was a part of it. Yeah, a lot of men disrespected me when I worked there. A lot of men disrespected me. That's okay. Come October, they're going to be writing a big paycheck to my family. Big donation to my ministry. To our ministries. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that meeting. I can't wait. A lot of people say bad things about President Trump. A lot of people say bad things about President Biden. I have been intentional about not saying anything bad about any political leaders because that's how my parents raised me. And that's what my scriptures say that I follow and I believe. You are supposed to be respectful of the leadership over you, even if you don't like them. You suck it up and you be nice. And I'm a huge influencer. I didn't desire to be. I didn't ask to be. Political leaders have pulled me in all sorts of directions. They've tried to use me and I've only been on social media for a very short amount of time. They see me. They see me as a leader. Their wives have conversations with them about me being a leader. I know it. I know there's conversations behind closed doors because there is no reason how this woman that I am, that came from a mute childhood where I was not listened to, when I was being abused, delayed reading, all kinds of things, all kinds of reasons why I am not supposed to be where I'm at right now, but I am. And so I'm grateful for it all. I am 100% grateful for the cup of noodles and the companies that represent that. I'm grateful that I went to college and that half of the unit or department were substitute professors, because had they not had that, then I never would have met Francis, who was a veteran spouse. At that time, her husband was active duty in the Air Force. She used her training as a veteran spouse to get me help when I had been raped from an Army Ranger. And I reached out and talked about it one time to a therapist at school, but I found out that I'd get kicked out if I talked about my true thoughts. I had to learn how to keep my mouth shut again. But they had been trained. Their family were trained. my advisor, Dr. McConnell, who has no faith system at all, at least the last time I talked to her. She, in fact, talked very badly about people of the church because she had some bad experiences about it. But she was open about mental health. And she, I know, talked to Francis and said, hey, we need help. Erin checked this box, suicide ideations, and she's not going back to the therapist. We can't force her to. We're not legally allowed to call her parents. We need to help her. What can we do? I imagine she said, well, she probably needs to feel valuable again. Maybe my husband and I could go on a date. She could babysit our kids. Great idea. Let's do that. Maybe we can reach out to her classmates and have them reach out to her to spend time with her because I was isolating myself. I had dropped out of jazz choir, my favorite group that kept me going in college. I quit doing the things I loved doing. If you're listening to this right now and you're a parent of a child in college and you think that they might have been raped, but maybe they're not talking to you about it because it's uncomfortable for them and they're feeling like a lot of shame around it. Maybe they're not in college. Maybe they're in high school or junior high. Some of my friends in junior high were talking about having sex with adults at 13 years old. I knew that wasn't right. But a lot of the kids in my neighborhood growing up, they thought that was good. They made money doing it. I knew about prostitution at a very young age. I grew up in a very rough area. My parents protected me and our community members, church body protected me. But they couldn't protect me from the abuse in my own house because it happens, it's common, it's normal, and it shouldn't be accepted. It shouldn't just be swept under the rug. We need to talk about it because as we talk about it more, that's when this dark private group gets less and less profitable. When we start spreading the truth, we start spreading the light around the world. That means that you, if you take a risk, like I am, and you start talking about them, you become a target. So I might die a horrific death. But the Holy Spirit actually told me this morning, told me how many years I have left. So I ain't worried about nothing. And I have 1,250,000 angels that guard and protect me from all over the world. And just one of those angels slaughtered. I listened to Pastor Joel Osteen's release this morning in the new audio. 180,000 people. Yeah. Just one of those angels slaughtered 180,000 that were trying to come against a child of the Most High King. I ain't worried about nothing. Cup of noodles and the brand, Nissin. Love it. I don't know where they're based out of, but it looks Japanese to me. Let's see if it says. It might be Chinese. Let's see here. It might have been on the outside cardboard paper. Yeah, it doesn't say. It is recyclable, number 6, though. That matters. If you're from Washington State, that matters. It doesn't say where they're based out of. But we all are interconnected. That's, I think, what the Holy Spirit wants to remind you. We're all interconnected. We all can get along. We all can figure out how to work together. There's goodness in all of us, and there's not so much goodness, right? We all get to choose how we're going to behave towards others. And all of us have a set point of which we have a max of disrespect, of which we will allow. Some people don't allow for any disrespect at all. Some people allow for a bunch of disrespect and then they just blow up and you never know when that's going to happen. Some people communicate and they let you know, like me. I communicate, hey, now, because I've trained myself to start communicating my value immediately when I recognize something is not acceptable. But it took a lot for me to get to this place where I can start communicating my needs. Because I've been disrespected and not listened to from people as young as birth that should have been protecting me. And if you are similar to my story, if you can relate to it, you're not alone. There are 1.56 billion people in the world. That's what the Holy Spirit revealed to me, that are dealing with depression after the pandemic. Some of you already had it, and some of you, it was caused from the forcible shutdown from our top level leaders. So they are responsible for taking care of you, but they won't. They won't do it themselves. They don't have the capacity. They don't have the knowledge, they don't have the skills, and it's not their assignment. The assignment was given to me. We each have our own assignment in the world. And if you're not sure what that assignment is for you, I strongly encourage you to get down on your knees and pray to the Father above and ask, Father, I'm so sick and tired of wasting my life away. What is it that you have desired for me? How can I serve others? And then be quiet and listen. He'll either reveal it to you in that still, small, quiet voice in your heart, in your mind, or he'll say, get a journal out and you start writing it out. If you are a person that writes more, or type it on your computer, or he'll reveal it to you by people reaching out to you, asking for help with this or that. He doesn't have a limit to how he communicates with us. And in fact, he doesn't do it the same time every time. He mainly communicates with me in my journaling, but not always. Last Saturday, I was hit by a vehicle. A woman traveling in the middle of a 5-minute storm. Okay, the Holy Spirit says, tell them. It was revealed to me when I was being protected off-grid. It was revealed to me that there are weather channel control centers. Do I say where, Father? In Alaska. That can control storms. The government doesn't want you to know about it. This is the truth. I believe the Holy Spirit protected me when people on purpose tried to get me killed, using a person that had been injected with the COVID-19 vaccine. I don't know what brand. Doesn't matter. That's what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Happened. There are nanobot particles. If you got the injection, some of the brands, I saw a video from a doctor in Europe that broke down all of the parts, all of the ingredients. We all around the world were lied to because the enemy desires to cause division and desires to separate us from the Father, desires for us to not be joyful, because if we're joyful, that's when we're closer to the Father. That's when we're able to help more people. And it was revealed to me that this person was in a trance because she said, my car just started coming into your lane. I believe it hydroplaned. I don't believe it hydroplaned. I believe she was flipped into a trance from people controlling her body outside of her body. My trainer, the best trainer in the world, who became my husband last year, told me there are already active duty military people that have been injected with the beast and his mark, that are completely behaving not from their own controls, from other humans' controls outside of their body. We are in the end times, but there is a hope. There is a hope beyond all hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. None of us know how many days we have left. None of us. None of us are able to determine our death day. The Holy Spirit revealed to me how many years I have left, so I know I have multiple decades. But even if he changed his mind and decided to call me home early, I have a peace that passes all understanding. Because I recognize that this life on this physical earth is temporary. And my purpose on this earth, I made the decision at a young age that my purpose would be to live a life as close as possible to how Jesus lived his life, to love other people. I made that decision when I wasn't remembering how to read, and I knew that I would never understand the Bible fully because I couldn't remember the scriptures. I couldn't remember where things were located. I had this desire to be as strong in my faith as my mother. But I was judging myself at 14 based on where my mom was at. And she was, I think, 35 or 36 when she had me. So she was 35 years older than me. She had more decades on this earth. I shouldn't have been judging myself. The grass is greener on the other side is an old adage. Everybody desires to have what other people have. And that's, it could be a good thing. If you desire to be like someone else, it can drive you, inspire you, get you enough energy, fire under your butt to start accelerating your life in that direction. But we're not supposed to covet. We're not supposed to idolize. We're not supposed to wish we were like other people. How about focus on your own journey? How about focus on being grateful for where you're at right now? That's what I encourage you to do. And that's what leaders do. Leaders, good leaders, ask, how can I help other people? I'm responsible. If you're responsible for the United States of America, there are over 300 million people that live here, that are supposed to live here. There are plenty of people that are here that aren't supposed to, but that's another story for another episode. If you are the president and the first wife, your job is to say, Father, how? How can you use me? How can I serve you for these people? Your priority is your citizens in the nation that you run. Your priority is not to be manipulated from other countries' leaders to get access to your citizens' private information and data. The Holy Spirit already revealed to me, and I will release that episode on another day. Structurize, Telefontaine. I'm not sure which will be released first because the Holy Spirit tells me which episode to release when. He revealed to me, I'm not the only one that was hacked into in 2020. As early as the first smart devices were developed, the internet was developed, it has been the plans of the enemy. It has been the plans of the enemy since the beginning of time when he separated himself from the Father to cause division. It's nothing new. And a part of that division is impacting your bank account. Part of that division is impacting your relationships with your family members. And a part of that division is stealing from the poor. It's nothing new. But his son Jesus Christ came to the earth to be the ultimate role model, to demonstrate that the Father above is the source, and that anything that we ask the Father, if we say it in his son's name, if we say it and we believe that he will provide it to us, if it's in alignment with the mission that he has assigned to us, then he will provide it to us. So I strongly encourage you to start asking the Father for exactly what it is that you need. And if you're not sure what you need, say that to him when you're having a conversation with him. Father, I don't know what my needs are, but you do. In the Proverbs, it specifically says, don't give me so much that I don't think I need you, Father. And don't give me so little that I have to steal. Give me just enough of my daily bread. Concern yourself with right now, in this present moment. Do you have everything that you need? If not, ask. Ask for what your needs are and that he would provide it. And then start saying affirmative prayers of gratitude before you receive what he's given you, because you're going to demonstrate faith in believing that it's on the way. This car accident has been very frustrating, but I decided last weekend while I was stuck, I paid my rent. I paid my monthly rent in 3 days. That's how much money it cost me for hotel stays. And I asked for help from the insurance companies, both of us fully insured, and the other driver admitted 100% fault, but insurance companies are profiting off of all the car accidents in the nation and around the world, I imagine. They increased in profit 10%, the company at fault, in the last year. At least $10 billion with a B. They're being cheap, they're being lazy, and the Holy Spirit said, don't worry about it, let me handle it. I'm going to have your husband and his buddies handle it. I don't know how they're going to handle it, because I haven't been able to communicate with my husband in over 14 months. But I'm believing, I'm thanking the Creator that he's going to handle it. I haven't even been able to see a doctor yet, because the first person I spoke to said that I was going to get a list of providers. They were speaking to me while I was still in crisis mode, where my brain wasn't retaining information and I was trying my best to take notes, but the first few people were being rude to me, interrupting me on the phone, cutting me off, hung up on me. Yeah, that's what I've had to deal with. Disrespect of companies that work for me and work for you. So you might have to pull up your britches and remind them of the service you pay for. It's time for the rich to start distributing their wealth. And I can't wait. I can't wait for October's meeting, because my husband and I, as soon as we get that contract signed, in 3 years, less than 3 years, actually, I'll be 40 in less than 3 years, in June of 2026. And as soon as that happens, from that day forward, we will be distributing 90% of our wealth to whomever the Holy Spirit tells us we're going to distribute it to. And we're only going to keep 10%. That means that we as leaders in society are going to be the ultimate role model, and other people will learn from us and start following suit. I know it because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He uses his children to be examples first. Then people start following suit because it will become the cool factor to be generous and to help other people. I can't wait. I can't wait for October's meeting. I can't wait for that meeting to take place, for generosity to become the cool thing. Yeah, I make up songs on the fly because that's how the Father designed me. And I'm ashamed of how he designed me, because we are all created in his image, and he makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes on his children. He makes no mistakes. And he uses all of the pain of the enemy. He uses it and rebounds the attack back onto them. So we are less than 90 days away from that meeting, or 92, I think, days or something like that, as today's date, where I will get to meet all of the presidents and the first wives. My mom will get to meet all the presidents and the first wives. They all will apologize to my family for all the deaths, torture, the breaking of the Geneva Code, the breaking of the American Disabilities Act, all of these laws that were broken in the last 3 years, because this is the first ever in history contest, and there's a lot of people that love to cheat, steal, do whatever it takes to win contests. But I didn't break any rules. I didn't break any rules. No. I didn't. Integrity wins. And cheaters never prosper. Oh. So that meeting, my mom will get to look back at her life. And at that point, she will be 73 years old. She will get to look back at her life and say, I made good decisions. I'm so glad. This is my mother speaking, I imagine, thinking. because she's so meek, and there is so much power in meek people. You read it in the scriptures. She will look back and say, I'm so glad that I decided to be the stay-at-home mother, to homeschool my children, to sacrifice my income, to trust that my husband would provide, because even in death, even in his death, he has shined down from heaven. And he has allowed, through me sharing the story of my family, for other fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers to step up, protect, and provide for me, to allow me this opportunity to win. We won this together. America, we won this together. I represent all people with depression, 1.56 billion people in the world. They could have picked anybody from any nation, but the Father assigned it to me. You should be really glad if you're listening to this. What's that, Father? He said, Michelle Obama is listening to this right now. Somebody let her listen in. Wow. Oh, that's neat. You should be really glad you get to meet my mom. Because she grew up in the Chicago area. My auntie Louise had passed away when I was in grad school. I got to talk to her a month before she died. She taught 30 years in Chicago public schools in elementary music. My mom's the baby of the family, and Auntie Louise was the next youngest. She was the first of her siblings to die. And that was back in 2010, I think, or 2011. It was my first year in grad school, so it must have been 2010 in the fall. She died not from cancer. She died because they maxed 5 credit cards because her medications were not FDA approved. Because a bunch of rich people that profit off of the poor decided not to help a teacher that had given 30 years of service to the community that you supposedly grew up in. So I know that you're going to be really glad to meet my mom, because we've chosen to not be angry, but we've chosen to channel our frustrations. And I come from a musical family. And the Father told me this morning, whispered it in my heart, that I will have 100 songs completed before that meeting. So that means I've got 15 more that apparently I'm going to create in the next 90 days, 92 days. I can't wait. I can't wait. I've created my own wealth out of nothing. Because the Father creates through me. I am His vessel of love. And as I am more generous and grateful to others, He is more generous and grateful to me. And I can't wait to meet you. And I can't wait to remind my mom that all of her sacrifices were worth it. That all of the sacrifices that my parents made were worth it. That the community members made for us, praying for us, coming to our concerts, showing up for us, that Mr. Krause and his sacrifice, my high school choir teacher that developed with me the second group therapy offering where Move Happy was first birthed in the psychiatric hospital, sacrificed his time in retirement to meet me at a Starbucks and helped me to customize how to teach other people how to be good vocalists, even though I didn't get any degrees in music because society told me I wasn't allowed to. He taught me how to find a way around the wall. I can't wait to meet you, Michelle. I can't wait for that video for us to all shoot with Siri facilitating instructions to all of us first ladies and myself in preparation for the biggest wedding in history that will be broadcast around the entire earth. And I can't wait because I know how fit you are. And I know that that's going to be huge to make America look so flippin' good. And I know you're going to show up for me, because I reported racism in my workplace and they tried their best to cover it up, because President Biden's security team tried to cover it up and target me and have me falsely arrested. But I know, I know that you are going to stand up for me. Because I stood up for a black female in the workplace that had a sex change, that was covertly presenting herself as a man because she had been disrespected for so long in D.C. Yeah, where you live now, I think. I actually don't know where you live, but where you did live for 8 years with your husband. So I know you're going to be there for me. I know you're going to stand up against the injustice against the black community. I can't wait. Oh my gosh. October's meeting is going to be so fun. It's going to be so fun for me. And I imagine you're going to talk to your daughters and you're going to say, this is a woman I want you to pay attention to. This is what's possible for other people's children. You come from privilege because of what your father and I have done for you. This is a woman that had to earn it her whole life. You need to pay attention to her because I'm going to be the first ever in history, Chief Spiritual Officer of the United States of America, with this morning, the Holy Spirit, can I say it, Father? He said yes. The Holy Spirit revealed to me 13 honorary PhDs and United States military chaplain certificates for all of the branches of the military. And the Holy Spirit told me this morning all of the categories of the PhDs. The first one will be in mathematics, the second one language studies, the third one history, the fourth psychology, the fifth sociology, the sixth family therapy, the seventh business, the eighth pedagogy, which is just teaching, right? Ninth music performance, the 10th music therapy, the 11th military strategy, the 12th marketing and sales, and the 13th... This one, you can look around for different titles. The application of religious studies to life or ministry, right? That's what the Holy Spirit whispered to me. He is the ultimate source. He bends rules in society for his children. When we lean in and we demonstrate love for other people, because that's what Jesus Christ said is the most important thing to focus on in the world, is to love. To love the Father with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor. And that's all I've done my whole life. So I know all the people that have tried their best to damage my character, try to lie about me, try to cause division in my businesses, in my relationships, and in my family. Either on purpose, because they sacrifice and torture children in private in order to stay looking younger by drinking their blood, which is really gross, or they were a part of the military people that were training me to build my resiliency over the last 3 years so that I would be qualified for this position, this title that I will be handed, so that I earn it properly. I can't wait to meet you, Michelle. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for October's meeting. I can't wait for October's meeting when I get to hug all the first wives and I get to make a workout video with the first wives and my friend who was my coach in CrossFit and my friend who was the teacher to all my athletes in middle school cross country. Yeah, Siri is the middle school teacher of all the middle school girls that were on my first ever team that I coached, CrossFit, in a low-income area. Many of them couldn't afford running shoes, and I knew the power of mastery experiences your first time ever doing something needs to be positive. Otherwise, you're going to choose to never do it again. So I was resourceful, and I spent gas and time and reached out to a running store in Olympia, Washington. And I believe I included their name in my blog, so you can review that blog from back in probably 2018. And the owner of the store was Dallas. He donated from his revenue. He made sure every single middle schooler on the team, the middle school girls running team, he made sure he got all the sizes. It wasn't all the students. It wasn't all the athletes that couldn't afford it. But he didn't want any of the girls to feel excluded, to stand out by having brand new shoes as being poor. So he was very smart about it. And he made sure that all of the athletes got running shoes, and I made sure the principal handed the shoes out to the ladies, so they felt extremely valuable for making a decision to join a running team. And even though we didn't really win any of the races, they got to run with my puppy, Mister, the faster athletes. They got to get into trail running. They got to work with one of the teachers. I think he was a history teacher or math. I forget. Maybe he taught both. Tim Corey, who was an Air Force veteran. If he's fully retired from the school district, he's not driving anymore. But when I launched my nonprofit ministries, I reached out to him and I reached out to Siri to make sure, because a lot of my phone numbers in my phone were messed with on purpose from this Illuminati group, on purpose, messing with my contacts. So I wasn't sure if his number was the same or if he still had that phone, and he did. And he showed up for me in that concert, Mr. Corey, the head coach of the cross country team. And he at that time was driving bus, and he got to be in the same concert experience, I believe, with an NFL athlete that was the keynote speaker, Reggie Walker, of my second concert, because I don't think he could make it to the first one. And a lot of people showed up to that one, including Dr. Brian Hill, who was the psychologist where Move Happy was first birthed. He was the psychologist that allowed me to do one-on-one coaching of patients in his care on Ward S8 that needed extra attention. He only had 10 minutes with each patient a week and had to go to court on behalf of them. The system wasn't set up properly, so I said, how can I help make it better? So he allowed me to coach two of his clients. I couldn't call it therapy because I didn't have a license in therapy. He allowed me to do one-on-one therapy, and I didn't bill the hospital. We did extra value at the hospital, and he helped me to earn my promotion. So all these people that illegally listened in on that phone call with Dr. Hill and illegally added a mental diagnosis into my medical record to try and damage my reputation will remove that, because Michelle, I know you're not going to stand for that. I know you're going to stand up for me. I know it, because you're a good person and you have a real story. And there's a lot of people that have said terrible things about you just because you became the first wife, first person of color of America. You've made a history monumental thing just by being yourself, as have I. And I know your brother. Not personally, but I know he let me cut him in line at the Starbucks at Oregon State University right down the road. I think on Monroe. No, it wasn't Monroe. It was a couple blocks away. I remember. I was super, super broke. I was going to pay for his coffee, and I didn't even have money in my bank account because I was cup of noodling. I would have paid for it if I had the money. He let me cut him ahead in line. That's the kind of people in your family. That's the kind of people that you guys are. I know. I know that there is a bunch of dark, evil military people that were trying their best to destroy me last fall. And I don't believe it had anything to do with our top level leaders. I think it had a lot to do with this Illuminati group that is involved on all political parties. So you have to inspect what you expect. And you need to ask yourself, why? Why are these people targeting Aaron Nicole? They should be targeting this evil group that's trying to abduct children around the world, that is abducting children and sacrificing them and drinking their blood? Ugh, it's so gross. It's so gross. But like Jeff Olson has said many times, who's been in the anti-aging industry for over 30 years, no matter what the economy is, up or down, anti-aging always goes up. Everybody always wants to look younger. Everybody does. And they're willing to pay for it. So the rich, they're going to start paying my network a lot of money. And, my artwork is knocking down. Getting so excited over this. I'm going to save you money by introducing you to Niora products. You can purchase from my
website, erinnicole.neora.com. I don't make any money off of it, but I'm a customer right now because I use the brain supplement. Helps to keep my mind calm, and it helps to allow me to flip the switch if I've had a foggy moment where I walked into a room and I was like, why did I walk into this room? If you've ever experienced that, I 100% recommend you take the EHT, 30-day money-back guarantee. I used to make money sharing the products, and I will gladly continue sharing and promoting the products. And the Democratic Party is going to pay $100 million to Jeff Olson, or to me, excuse me. They're going to donate in our ministry come October. They're going to write a big check. They're all going to talk together and figure out how they could get all this money, because they on purpose destroyed a profitable business paying taxes to the government because they sacrifice and abduct children. And they're going to reach out to anyone that's in the Illuminati group on the Republicans team. Because they're everywhere. They're going to reach out to their banking connections and say, how can we move? How can we figure out how to get this money into Erin Nicole's bank account? Into our nonprofit ministry account that will be tax-free, that will be 501c3 approved, and everyone will see how we're allocating our money. There will be nothing hidden. There will be nothing hidden. I learned a Sunday school song at a very young age. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Nothing will be hidden. When people try to hide things, you have to start inspecting. Why? Why are they trying to hide? What are they hiding? If people are open, transparent with you, they don't stutter, they're able to communicate with you, chances are they're being honest. If they have depression and they're withdrawing and they're experiencing PTSD, time slows down for them. So you need to give those people extra grace and maybe ask them to ride it out. Give them some space, give them some time. Do not, and I repeat, do not torture American citizens any further. You've broken the Geneva Code enough times. You're going to write my family a lot of money. A lot of money. And I'm going to distribute that money with my husband by my side for the rest of my life. We are going to continue living off of, once I hit 40, 10% for the rest of our lives. And we're going to make sure that our nonprofit ministry is ongoing even after I live my last breath on this physical earth. This is my gift to the world, because I desired to live as Jesus lived on the earth. And many people, even Christians, make fun of homeless people. Even in my day job that I haven't been allowed to go to, some of my managers were laughing, making fun of homeless people. And I quickly learned I'm not going to speak up and tell them that I have survived homelessness, because those people aren't aware at how close they are to being homeless. But come November, when the internet gets shut down, a lot of people are going to start changing their minds about homeless people. Jesus Christ was homeless. He didn't concern himself about where he ate or where he slept, because he was always adding value wherever he went, and he was creating miracles wherever he went, so people provided for him, for his needs, for his daily needs. And the Holy Spirit allowed him to release miracles whenever he decided. Whenever the Father told him, this is what you're going to do. The Father lives and breathes in me. His Son's power, his DNA, runs through my veins. I come from royal blood, as do you. If you choose to be adopted into the kingdom, or if you are one of the cool children of God that were born through Jesus Christ's line, that means that Jesus Christ had children. And I know that's kind of out there, because a lot of people don't put that in the Bibles. They removed that part from the Bibles, but how would his line continue forward? How would the descendants continue moving forward in history unless he did have children? So that means that
He married someone. I don't know that part of the history yet, but I can't wait to learn more. I can't wait to continue on sharing my truth, sharing my journey, and whatever the Holy Spirit reveals through me. So if you desire to know this Father that I know, and have not just know him, because the demons know him and shudder, but to have a personal relationship with him where you can reach out to him like you could reach out to your dad or your mom at any time. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of salvation. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. This is a gift from you. Father, I know that I've made a lot of mistakes in my past, but I ask that you forgive me. Come into my heart and guide my journey so I could be a more loving example like your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you and I pray in your name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to welcome you to the family. We encourage you at our nonprofit arm for veterans and first responders to get plugged in to a Bible-based church and keep God first place. And if you can get plugged into a small group, even better. If you could get plugged into a physical church, even better. And once I get my doctor's appointment is, I think, at the end of this week. That was the earliest I could get in. I asked them to add me to the wait list because you could do that. But some doctor's offices don't do that anymore. So she said, you can call in the morning. And she gave me the time to call. So I'm going to do that come Monday morning because now I looked and I have money in my bank account. I didn't last weekend. I didn't have any money because people were messing with me on purpose, testing me. But now they know I'm serious because they saw when the lawyers called me back, the lawyer's office, so they knew I wasn't messing around. Sometimes you got to get nasty. You got to meet people where they're at. So I'm believing that everything will be handled and taken care of. I'm believing that the broken vertebrae in my back that the Holy Spirit whispered that I have will be healed, will be proven on an x-ray. I believe he's going to prove his healing miracles. And I believe that he will heal me in his perfect timing, which means that I might not be able to go back to this day job that I liked. I really like it, working in the grocery industry. But I go wherever he goes, wherever he sends me. And if I have broken vertebrae and I'm not supposed to bend or whatever the limitations are, I don't know if it's broken or not. That's just what the Holy Spirit whispered to me, and I'm learning to trust him. He's way more trustworthy than any human. So, but if I have to modify my work environment, they might not be able to modify and accommodate for a car accident that wasn't my job's fault. That wasn't my fault either. So I might have to be compensated accordingly. So I'm just trusting in every single day of this journey that he's got me, and he's got you too. So keep in mind that when you make this commitment to the Father, that your life isn't going to be 100% peaches and cherries. You might get punched in the face with a car accident, and you get to choose how you're going to respond. Last weekend, I could have been angry, bitter, and terrible to be around, but instead, I was kind to the hotel staff. I created a song with my mother for the first time ever. We wrote a song together over the phone across the nation because there was a death of a female officer that was protecting a woman in a hospital from domestic violence, and the man came to the hospital and killed her, killed the officer, just because she was standing up against injustice and she tried to follow the laws of society and used an electronic weapon, and it didn't work for her. And now, a wife is lost. Now a mother is lost. Now a stepmother is lost. The articles in the newspapers online that I read, if they're accurate, said that she had two birth children and two children from his previous relationship. She was a stepmother and a mother. I don't know much about her husband. I don't know if he was also a first responder, but often they marry within the community because they know how stressful it is. Who's going to pay for them? Who's going to take care of them? Their community was completely punched in the face by this. In this small, very rich community, I reached out to 7 churches asking for help from a situation that was caused by one of their community members. And none of them were able to help me. But I was able to help them. I made the decision to choose love. It was the first responders that helped me. It was the tow truck driver that helped me. The tow truck driver went to high school with this fallen officer. It was the, I don't know what her title is, but the person that cleaned my hotel room one of the days. Crystal, I believe, was her name. She was a recovering drug addict. Mom, she's very excited to get reconnected with her one-year-old. She's got a job, and she told me, she said, I knew the fallen officer. She helped one of my friends with a domestic violence situation. That whole community was riveted, and it was an hour away. That's where I was hit, an hour away from Tell City, Indiana. I believe the Holy Spirit, on purpose, allowed me to be involved in a car accident, sent me there on purpose to minister to this community. And my mom and I wrote this song, and the Holy Spirit inspired the title and the lyrics and everything, and the melody came through me that morning. The morning, Sunday morning, I believe, was the melody. I had walked to the store to grab some items because I wasn't planning on staying overnight anywhere. I was planning on going back home after my hike. I didn't get to the hike. The Holy Spirit leads and guides my life. And if you are willing to allow Him to lead and guide your life, that means that you might be dealing with a car accident when you thought you were going to go on a trip for the day and go exercise. Are you going to be angry and frustrated at insurance companies? I was for an hour or so. I was very frustrated. Well, not an hour. I should say probably a few minutes on the phone. And then I said, okay, Aaron, get rid of this anger. Because I learned from Tony Robbins' videos. 1 minute, 60 seconds of anger makes your immune system decreased for 4 hours. 1 minute of anger. So I am very intentional about training my mind to not allow it to be angry for that long. But it was really hard to not be frustrated and stressed because they were impacting my money, my physical health, my housing, everything. And I was going to be forced into homelessness a third time in 3 years because of rich people, rich organizations taking advantage of the poor. And I reached my peak. But the Father above loves me and protects me and provides for me. And in the middle of crisis, the first responder that wrote the report for my car accident connected me to a female officer to find me housing when they just happened to have that weekend a big baseball event and all the hotels were sold out and I had to spend almost $200 a night because somebody else hit my car, even though we're both fully insured. First responders helped to take me somewhere when my maps don't work on my phone because I'm protected, heavily protected. So I had to buy an external device that doesn't have a search on it. You have to know the address. Yeah. When I called 911, the people that protect me hung it up on purpose because they didn't want these people to find where I was at. They didn't want it on a recorded line. So they, on purpose, had them call me back. There's so many people that protect me and look out for me, and I'm so grateful. And I keep on being grateful back. I keep on giving back. And they got to hear me and witness me create a song out of nothing, unexpectedly, with my mom. And she even told me I had to not listen to my mom. She told me I didn't have any skills. She said, Aaron, I've never written a song before. I didn't let that stop me from allowing her to do it because the Holy Spirit told me this is what's going to happen. And you're going to be patient with your mom. You're going to be respectful of your mother's ideas. She's going to be your coach for the lyrics. And I prayed with my mom instead of let her listen to the worry and stress that she was feeling for not being closer to her daughter in crisis, in an emergency situation, beyond emergency. That's the level of faith that has grown within me. And we together created the song together. And I can't wait. I can't wait for that song to be used to bring healing to them. And I told my mom, I said, if my brothers and my nephews and nieces, if they want to be a part of it, we all sing. I know it's going to take some coordination. I don't know how all the technologies work. There's different computers. I have a MacBook Pro. They've got a PC there, and they've got a newer one and an older one. And I had all of this expensive musical recording equipment that my middle brother had gifted to me when I was in graduate school. That I had kept, $3,000 recording mic that he told me when I moved across the nation to help him in his divorce process. He told me to give it to my brother, my oldest brother, because he would let me use his stuff, and then he didn't, because he was grieving, and he let me use it like once, but he's got his issues. We all do. We all do. And I've made the decision to be generous, to be kind, to be open, and to help bless other families, because I decided to listen to what my mom would say to us on the way out the door. Be a blessing, be a blessing, be a blessing. She kept repeating it because that was her way of saying, don't embarrass me, don't embarrass me, don't embarrass me. You represent our household when you leave this house. And even though I moved out a long time ago, my mother's rules in parenting don't leave me. My parents raised us well. Yes, of course, they neglected me, but so have a lot of parents neglected your children. You do the best that you can. Jeff Foxworthy said this funny thing in one of his videos a while ago. He said, at one point in time, you got to just, finally, if you become an adult, you got to just be able to admit that your parents did the best that they could, and you just are a sucky person, basically. If you're blaming all of everything on your parents instead of taking responsibility. I really like him. I think he's a funny comedian. And I like a lot of people. I see the good in people. That's how the Father designed me, trained me, raised me. I chose career paths in alignment with that. And there's some people that look for the bad in people, like our first responders, because that's what their jobs are. You can't separate that from your personal life, as much as you try to. There's trainings you can do and all of that. We all need each other. We all need the good and the otherwise, the good and the bad, whatever you want to call it. I'm grateful for our first responders, and that's why they're going to get 100% of the royalties for any books sold about my life, any movies made about my life. That's what I told my husband when we were friends in 2020, when I was first introduced to him. And he said, oh, you're a dreamer. And guess what? We are less than 100 days away, less than 92 or 93 days away from me meeting all of the presidents of the United States of America and the first wives. And we're going to be signing a contract. I am the global ambassador for depression in the world, the first in history. I'm a huge asset to the world. I'm a huge asset to my nation. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the movie to be made. Father, can I tell them now? Okay, he said, no, not yet. He revealed to me, I'm not going to say the names, he revealed to me two very, very famous actresses that will play, one of them will play me, and one of them will play one of my friends from junior high in the movie. Oh, I can't wait. 100% of the royalties are going to go to the Hope Foundation that my husband and I were in process of setting up for first responders and veterans that are a part of the security teams that protect all the presidents of America. I am not supposed to know, and no one is supposed to know, who's in this organization. So I imagine they will make it eligible because they're all generous, kind people, and they love America. They're true patriots. They're the reason why we are allowed to have the freedoms that we have. So 100% of the royalties for my life and the lifetime of our ministries, even long after I've died. Any movies made about my story, TV shows, streaming shows, anything, 100% of the royalties will go to veterans and first responders around the United States and around the world that protect our country and protect countries that we look out for. It's going to be a big check. It's going to be a big check. My husband won't allow me to sign anything that's cheap, because there are a lot of veterans around the U.S., a lot of homeless veterans. We're going to get housing. Yeah. A lot of veteran families, a lot of active duty, retired or otherwise, separated. And first responders, our police, our sheriffs, our state troopers, any government organization that protects our nation, protects citizens from crime, FBI. I think the JAG, I think, is the lawyers for the military, I think. I don't know all the names. I'm going to learn, though. National Guard, even though a lot of our veterans make fun of the National Guard. You shouldn't. You should not, moving forward, make fun of any National Guard people, because it was a National Guard veteran that provided me housing when I was being targeted last fall. Made sure that I was fed when I was avoiding eating their food. Because that's the level of stress they forced me when they stole $1,500 from my mother, a widow who takes care of her grandchildren. No one will ever make fun of National Guard veterans ever again, as long as I am in charge of people's mental health, educating, and being an ambassador. I share the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it was that man, 20-ish years prior to, that tried to kill himself with a gun and actually pulled the trigger, a fully loaded weapon. But the Holy Spirit protected his mind, protected his brain, and made the gun not work. Because his assignment wasn't done yet. The Holy Spirit provides for me, protects me, and looks out for me because I look out for your families. And I can't wait. I can't wait for things to start that I've been speaking into existence to start coming to fruition. Come October. I can't wait. I can't wait to be reunited with my husband. At that point, whatever Easter of 2023 was, till October 17th, 2022, last year, one full year from Easter to Easter, I think it was April or end of March of last year, all month of April, all month of May, all month of June, all month of July, all month of August, all month of September, all month, halfway through the month of October. That's 12 plus 18 and a half months of zero contact with the love of my life, because a death threat was put on my husband and I from the nation's leader and their security teams that had been told to no longer protect me but to have me killed, when they misunderstood how he trained me. I had to learn how to lie. I had to learn how to change some of how I operate when the Illuminati group decided to have me killed because I represent children, survivors of abuse. I will never, and my husband will never be disrespected ever again. And I can't wait for that meeting. I can't wait for October's meeting. I can't wait for that meeting to take place. And all these evil, dark people that try to steal your children and profit off your family's pain. We're gonna put them away. We're gonna put them away. And they're gonna be broke.
I think it would be really fun to put them all on an island by themselves, without any money, without any food, and just see how long they survive. I think that would be real fun, but they might consider that torture. But guess what? These people have put me in torture for 3 years. So I will ask the Father above what he desires for them. But I know that none of these people are going to be attacking me moving forward. Because if they do, 100 generations of their line will be completely obliterated off the face of the earth. So it would be very foolish for them to mess with me moving forward, to mess with my family moving forward. And it will only make them even more broke. My husband's associations are everywhere. Don't mess with my family. And if you're listening to this, and you love your family as you should, start speaking up. Start speaking up about what's going on. Start filing reports to the Cybercrime FBI website if you live in the United States of America, ic3.gov, and that is the number 3. That is the website that I have reported to for 3 years, where no one has been reaching out to me to communicate with me. There was one phone call from the FBI, supposedly, and they called the wrong phone number. I gave them the phone number to call, and they chose to call the wrong one on purpose because they had been bought out. But that's okay. Those people will be removed from office. And we're going to start moving people into positions of authority and power that care about the 300 plus million citizens of America. I can't wait for October's meeting. I can't wait for that meeting to take place. I can't wait. And I don't know what size my mother is, so call her. You guys have her phone number. Call her. Let her know what organization you represent and that you're going to be shipping her very fancy dresses at zero cost to her. You stole from her. You've illegally held on to her banking information. She's already had to get a new bank card. Stop messing with my family. Minimum $1,000 dress. Minimum. Do not be cheap with her. She comes from royal blood. She married into the royal family of King David, who slayed Goliath, who Jesus Christ was born from. Do not be cheap with my family. If you are listening to this, that means that the Holy Spirit has allowed you to be alive still. So that means you're going to step up. You're going to send her very fancy dresses. She looks very nice in blues and purples. She has some particulars. I don't know all the particulars. So you're going to reach out to her and you're going to create the reality of which I've been speaking by asking her, what are your preferred fabrics for this time of year? For the official crowning, coronation, and the wedding that you will be paying for redo. What is your preferred area of spa? How would you like to feel relaxed before we pick you up and fly you in our private jet to this meeting in October? Make sure you reach out to her for all those details. No surprises, no gotchas. Or if she prefers to purchase online, ask her. If she doesn't want you to mail anything to the house because she lives in the hood, ask her. Maybe she wants to buy it on Amazon. I don't know. Whatever her, or Temu, the popular app that's out there right now because of our connections to China. There's a lot of people saying bad things about the website. There's a lot of people trying to get my friends to get me to click on links about that website by hacking into my friends' accounts. I don't know what's real. I don't know, but I know they desire for me to promote it, so there's your promotion. You've hacked into my friends' association's accounts. So, are you proud of yourself for doing that? If you've got nice dresses on there is no limit
to what you will allow my mother to purchase. Minimum of $1,000 dress. Minimum US dollars. Multiple dresses. If it's from China, it's going to take a few weeks for her to receive it. That's what I've heard from people purchasing from your website. And the return process is terrible. That's what I've heard for the feedback. Now in America, we have 30-day money-back guarantee, consumer protection laws. You don't have that in China. You might want to change that. If you're going to sell to American citizens, you need to think about the environment, the country, and the laws that are in our country. Don't try to change our laws in our country based on your profit margins and your desire to make money. If you want to have a good reputation in our nation and you want people like myself to say good things about you, then make sure you're taking care of the customers and treating them like VIP, like my mother. If you want her to wear your dress from your website, then make sure it's a positive experience for her. I can't wait for October's meeting. I would like some dresses sent to me as well, but priority goes to my mother first. Make sure you take care of her. For me, I have medical concerns. I haven't been able to see a doctor yet, and I've got my appointment scheduled, but they're making me pay out of pocket first. It's not acceptable. I shouldn't have to pay anything. If you're an insurance company and I'm legally obligated to pay for full coverage insurance for my vehicle, you should be paying all of my bills if somebody else caused an accident. Yep. How expensive is it going to be if I have broken vertebrae and shards of bone go into my spine because I have to get out of bed to use the bathroom? But I've been refused treatment from insurance companies, lying to me, mixed information hanging up on me. That's going to be a big price tag. So make sure you start speeding up my healing journey, because I'm the asset of our nation for the world. And I've been royally disrespected. And I'm not the only one. There are plenty of Americans that are having to pay for Lyft and Ubers for their day job because insurance companies are delaying on purpose services. My customers, when I was driving Lyft last year before I was forced off of it from someone else hitting me, they were telling me they were cleaning people's houses. They were paying five times the amount of their car payment because they were waiting for insurance claims. Things are going to change in our nation. Insurance companies are going to go broke if... And this is a big if you don't start changing how you treat your customers, because I am a huge influencer. And we will make sure that we will have all the best lawyers for all the citizens you've been taking advantage of. I can't wait for October's meeting. So start changing your behaviors. Get me in a better mood, because you have the power to do so. I have an extremely resilient mind. But the Father above doesn't like how long I've been taken advantage of for my whole life. So he's going to bless all of my associations that have been helping me. I can't wait. I can't wait for October's meeting. I can't wait for that meeting to take place. And all my nephews and nieces, I imagine, will be a part of the experience, the official crowning, if they so desire to be on camera. Their parents, of course, if they're minors, will sign waivers for them to be filmed and whatnot. They need to be dressed as well. So be thinking about what you would be sending to those families and reach out to them accordingly. And to my cousins, and to my aunts, and my uncles. I can't wait. I can't wait. Okay, the Holy Spirit's saying Rashika. What about Rashika? My cousin Rashika's husband, she was newly married in the last year. His account was hacked into a long time ago. I knew that, so I disassociated from him because I didn't know him that well. Make sure you leave my family alone. I wasn't born yesterday. I was trained by the best. You're going to pay all my family members times 10. Emotional damages, time loss. Get those checks ready. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.